Thanks for tuning in to the Animal Control Report podcast, where we help debunk the dog catcher stereotype. A lot of times people think it's a dog catcher when they hear about animal control officers. But here on the Animal Control Report, we change that by taking you inside the day-to-day operations of animal control officers. Not only will you hear stories of animal control officers, but you'll hear from industry experts as well. We are also part of the Keep It Humane podcast network. We have some amazing partners there, so check them out at keepithumane.com/podcast network. You can listen to all the animal control and animal welfare related podcast there. And let's continue to help people help animals. Welcome to the Animal Control Report with the Right Link and your hosts,
Ashley Bishop
and Daniel Ettinger. So what were you saying before we got started? I didn't do what now?
Your exact quote said, "Oh, maybe I'll skip that." And then you've never responded after that until you asked, are y'all coming?
No, I said, I'm actually in tomorrow. I'll send the link late tonight or first thing tomorrow.
Yep. And then I said, what did I say?
And after said, that. Okay, topic is unions.
And then your next message was?
I'm going to skip that.
Uh-huh. Not that you're going to skip the message, but that you exactly said, and I quote, oh, maybe I'll skip that. Well, so I sent Hildy a link and we were going to record without you.
What? Hildy's here?
Y'all have fun. Can I leave and you still record?
What? Hildy's here?
Hildy is here.
So for those that don't know, we argue like this all the time, but we wanted to argue on the recording just so you could feel and see behind the scenes of the Animal Control Report. So good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good, sir.
How are things in Wisconsin?
Warming up, thankfully.
That's good.
I'm over this cold weather and ready for summer, but I'm extra ready to talk to our, I don't know, what do we call him?
He's not the just founder and the creator of the original Animal Control Report, which for those that may not know was called the Humane Roundup, which started in 2019 by this fine gentleman, Michael Hildebrandt. Michael Hildebrandt, known as Hildy, was the original host, producer, founder, CEO, sponsorship finder, person, editor,
everything,
social media wizard, guest filler, all the stuff that you can think about. He was the guy.
All the craziness.
How you doing, sir?
Good, man. Just chasing my kids around everywhere.
Isn't that fun?
And working, yeah.
So for those that don't know, I mean, most people should know, but for those that don't know, like, what do you recall, like, what went into starting this podcast that we have now changed to the Animal Control Report, but that you started as the Humane Roundup?
You know, I remember dreaming up the idea. And then I was like, how do I do this? I did a lot of research. And then I started contacting people. And that's how we ended up with, what, like 5 or 6 of us at one point?
Yeah, there was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot. So, yeah, I just dreamt up the idea and started figuring it out.
And then if you build it, they will come.
Yeah. And you guys have done a great job continuing on and doing great stuff, doing some trainings, doing conferences, sponsoring some people. Like, you guys have done some great work.
Appreciate that, man. Yeah. And it's all, as you know, it's in your likeness. You built it and we're still here. But you're not still here, man. You're not even doing animal welfare anymore. You're just outside fixing, like, heating and AC. What's going on in life, man?
Yeah, I'm just a normal little citizen now. Hiding
you're from the guy that knows about animal control.
Hiding from animal control because my dog's not licensed.
But you're the guy that calls in now, like, hey, I was out of this property and it doesn't seem like anybody's living there. Their house is there's a mess and there's this dog inside. It looks like it's been pooping in there for like 6 days. That's you now.
Yeah, I'm the confidential informant that calls in with all the information that anybody might ever. We actually had an incident at my work. I work in the office at a HVAC company, so I'm not out there sweating it in the attics. I might die if I
Yes.
do that, but there's this transient guy who walks by our building every single morning, shopping cart, Home Depot shopping cart, full of all of his personal effects.
Yeah.
And he used to have a dog. He no longer has a dog because he decided to lose his temper and hit his dog right outside of our building. And guess who we called and guess who showed up and took his dog away?
Did you know the officer by anything?
I did not know, but we definitely had the I definitely had the like, oh, I used to be an animal control officer conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
We
So.
had, I was at a restaurant just the other day. I'm on light duty right now, but, and somebody called in or walked into the restaurant and they're like, oh, there's a dog in a car and it's like barking and it's scratching at the window. And I'm going, first of all, it's like 40 degrees here. But of course, the restaurant was all up in arms and worried about it. I'm like, listen, I said, I'm the humane officer. I'll go look. Like, you don't have to call anybody. And I went back in and I'm like, yeah, the dog is fine. It's not that cold out. It's not that hot out. The dog just wants attention. You're good.
Well, you know who else wants attention?
Mooney.
No, Tomahawk Live
Oh.
Trap. Tomahawk Live Trap.
Yes.
Check them out, livetrap.com. They have so much good stuff. I was just messing around on the website again, and I can't believe my favorite thing are the zipper nets, the Freeman nets.
I love those things. Yeah.
Those things are so cool, man. So just go over to
I want one.
livetrap.com, use discount code Keep It Humane, get 10% off your order.
Do you roll it up once you get a cat in there so they
Yeah.
can't like freak out in there?
You roll it up and then you tighten it.
Yeah.
Well, first you tighten it
You tighten it
and then you
first.
roll it up. But one tip to the new ACOs or veteran ACOs out there, always check your equipment and make sure specifically that that bag is zippered shut at the bottom.
Yep.
Always. Oh, I'm not saying that I ever learned the hard way.
Everyone's done it once. Everyone's
Not,
done it at least
yeah.
once.
One time, and you're like, oh shit, please make sure this
Yeah.
is not.
I love the fact that you can do like injections and stuff through those bags too.
Yeah. Oh, that stuff is great.
It's
Absolutely
fantastic.
great. Absolutely great. So,
And I
yeah, check
bet
it out.
you,
Livetrap, livetrap.com.
I was gonna say worst case scenario, if you had nothing else available, you could even use it with snakes. I mean, you wouldn't want to do it long term because if it unrolls, well, then you're gonna have problems, but the holes aren't very big in it, so you'd probably be able to put a snake in there, worst case scenario. Multi-use.
That's actually a good idea. It's basically a pillowcase, an
It is.
upgraded
Yeah.
pillowcase.
With holes.
Yeah.
It has been brought to my attention that the two of you would like to talk about unions, and I will just sit over here quietly. So take it away.
Well, I remember that, I mean, years ago when we were still on the Humane Roundup, you had talked a couple of times about, being in a union and that there should be more unions that humane officers, animal control officers are a part of. And so I want to know a little bit more about that because, like, here our sworn officers are part of a union. But I'm not even as sure if I'm allowed to be just based on state legislation.
Interesting.
But one of the things that I'm going to be attending a summit for state organizations. And if I get that state organization up and running, one of the things I'd really kind of like to bring to it is potentially having a union or Something along those lines. I don't know because I don't know enough about it. So
Yeah.
help me out.
Well, in typical Hildy fashion, you guys know I brought some fun facts. And Dan, I think Dan can participate in these fun facts.
I'll absolutely participate. And I feel like there's going to be a game show today because
Oh
that was
boy.
your specialty, man. We always had something fun and yeah, so
Yeah, because life's boring if you don't have fun.
True.
Okay. In 1794, do you guys know what the first recognized labor union, like what the workers did?
1794, I will say railroad.
Ashley, what's your guess?
Honestly, I'd have to go with railroad too, because we didn't have much for factories then. So I
Wish I
would
had my
say
little buzzer because you're both wrong.
the thing that says
I don't,
farms.
I could do it. Anyways, it was the Federal Society of Journeymen Cord Winders, which
Oh, those
are
guys. Yeah, the cord winders.
cobblers and leather workers. Yeah.
Interesting.
Fun
Okay.
fact.
The more you know. So yeah. At one point, as an animal control officer, I was a part of the union, the Trades and Crafts Bargaining Unit, to be specific, which was a part of the local three union operating engineers, which I'm sure you guys have heard of them. The local operating engineers, local three, are a quite large.
Bishop, have you heard of them?
So my husband is in a union and I help with the Labor Day parade put on by the Marathon County
Okay.
Labor Council. However, that is not a union that has ever been in our Labor Day parade. So no, I have not heard of them. Okay.
I will also, with all due respect, say that I have not heard of them either.
Understood. Well, they're quite a large union, mostly a lot of highway workers and very tough guys who do hard work, like clearing snow off the road, building things, all of that good stuff. And then there were like five or six of us lonely soul animal control officers, a part of this union. and I got the opportunity to also serve as a union shop steward.
Okay.
So that was pretty interesting, as well as being on the negotiation team.
What does the
So,
shop steward entail?
you know, I don't know the exact definition, but my understanding is that this shop steward is a liaison between the workers, I guess, is that the appropriate term, and say management of the animal control organization,
Okay.
or whatever organization. So I did get to, step into my shop steward role a couple of times for some disciplinary things,
Okay.
not with me, just with some other workers. And so I was just, I don't know, I kind of felt like a lawyer. I got to be there for some of those difficult conversations and kind of advise the employee on things that they should say or maybe shouldn't say, or things that maybe we should take back to our union representative to speak with them about before proceeding in that conversation. Yeah. So,
Interesting.
and then, yeah, the negotiation team was also quite interesting. I went in with expectations that we would have a, I guess, productive back and forth dialogue between the negotiation team, the union representative, and the particular county that I worked for at the time. But they're allowed to just say no sometimes. And that's when strikes happen or other things happen, maybe reapproach from a different angle, have some conversations with some decision makers and then reconvene at the negotiation table. But that was definitely a fun experience that I had. And I did bring a MOU with me. I'll show you the back of it so we don't expose any secrets of which county it is. But I do have a memorandum of understanding here. My signature is in here as one of the people in the negotiation team. And if anybody knows me, you know that I'm a paper hoarder, so I'll probably have this MOU for the rest of my life just because my signature is in here. But it did expire in 2018. So, if we get into this and start talking about some of the things in here, just know it expired in 2018, and you could probably ask for much better things by now.
So essentially the union you that were a part of was a part of a much bigger union, because being five or six, you're not going to be able to have your own union per se.
Right, which worked out in our advantage. Like I said, a lot of the county maintenance workers, I think, are the proper term. The people who repair the potholes and drive the snow plows during the winter time, all of those hardworking men and women, we were in the union with them. So we were, I want to say, around 200 strong. And obviously a lot more of them than us animal control officers. So sometimes we had to sweet talk some of the guys on that side of the table to throw something in there for us animal control officers. But we were pretty successful. I obviously was not around at the inception of the animal control officers joining this union. I wish I was, so I had that knowledge and information. But I can at least talk about the experiences as a shop steward, the negotiation team, and some of the things that we were able to negotiate in the MOU. Some things like boot allowance, uniform allowances, our increases. We had increases put into our MOU.
You're
So
talking about pay increases, right?
yeah. And so I guess that's kind of a double-edged sword. If you are working harder than your coworker and it's in the MOU, everybody gets it, unfortunately. But it is what it is. But yeah, so a lot of those things, holidays, our contributions into our retirement system, all of those good things were outlined in that MOU.
Insurance.
Insurance was in that MOU.
And then if anybody had any kind of, I don't want to say retaliation, but any reprimands or anything like that, they could then get somebody from the union to help back them up, and they weren't just fighting it on their own.
Yes. So yeah, there was an appeal process outlined in the MOU for disciplinary actions, as well as instructions on how we meet at the table to negotiate things, how we handle strikes. All of those things were kind of outlined in this MOU. So just to highlight a couple of the sections, I'm looking at the MOU. So there's union rights in here. So payroll deductions. I still can't talk.
It's okay. Dan takes over for you on that part.
It's okay.
Dan can't talk either.
Yeah, so payroll deductions of your union dues, of course, which I was quite surprised our union dues were quite inexpensive. I want to
How
say it
much
was.
do you recall how much it was for you?
I want to say it was around $13 a paycheck.
Oh,
So,
yeah, that's not bad.
yeah. Yeah.
No, that's not bad at all.
And
Yeah.
isn't there, on a side note, just what you probably might get to it anyway, but like, don't some unions also have like I don't know. Kickback's probably not the right word to use with a union, but well, but it's, my
That
knowledge of the union is Jimmy Hoffa, right? Like that's how I understand unions. I don't, you know, maybe movies and in that, but like, so I won't use the word kickback, but they have like programs that have incentives. So like you can get, from my understanding, like discounted movie tickets. Or did your union offer stuff like that as well?
We were not that cool, Dan. This county that I worked in, they probably still are using paper for some things.
Okay.
So they're not, I don't know that they're that advanced yet, but I did work for another agency that happened to be attached to a police department.
Okay.
And we did get some of those perks being a part of that union. And that union was pretty cool because it was the same union that a lot of the police officers were in. So we got a lot of good benefits out of that. But yeah, definitely some of those things. And also in this MOU, there's things in there about, say, overtime pay, on-call pay, because everybody knows when you're on call, most of the times you are taking the county or city vehicle home and you're like, crap, I can't go grocery shopping now. Like I can't put my kids in here. Like I'm restricted. And so we were able to get on-call pay implemented, not just when we were actually called up, but even just sitting at home because we were restricted being on call. We were able to get some on-call pay. I think
Nice.
at one point, I think when I started, it was something like 60 cents per hour or something that you didn't get called out. And I think in this MOU probably actually we were able to bump it up to $2 an hour to do nothing but sit at home. And if
Okay.
you did get a call, then the normal pay structure kind of kicked in from there. But yeah, so lots of things in here. So there's union rights in here. Which talks about use of county buildings for county city buildings for meetings, release time to go participate in union activities, payroll deductions for our union dues, how the union communicates with employees, how employees communicate with the union, all of that good stuff. Wages, even if you leave and then come back, that was covered in this MOU. Days and hours of work, premiums, bonuses. So again, work schedules, overtime pay, on-call compensation, callback compensation. If you're in an acting, like if you're in an acting role, so your boss goes out on vacation or something and you're covering for your boss, you got paid for that. The county that I worked in was kind of split into two sections. One section was on one side of the mountain, the other section was obviously on the other side. So, if you had to travel to that other side of the mountain, you got extra pay. So, the MOU had a lot of really, really good stuff in here. Of course, some of the maintenance workers who would apply like pesticides and things like that along the side of the road, obviously exposed to hazardous chemicals and things like that. There was a compensation for that. I already mentioned earlier allowances for uniforms, boots, mileage reimbursements. We were able to get, if many of you don't know, here in the state of California, you can be a registered vet tech, or also they may require you to have a certification even to administer euthanasia drugs. And so we were able to get that into the MOU, like, hey, I have to study for this, take this test, pay for this certification that I only need for work. So I would like to be reimbursed for that. So we were able to get that, those sort of things in there, other benefits, paid leaves. And then just practices as far as probationary periods, some of the policies that you would expect to see in a normal handbook for a place that you work at. The union covered a lot of those things.
Nice.
Yeah.
Can you recall a time specifically animal control related where you had to be a steward and like help kind of represent somebody in a they got in trouble for something or theoretically got in trouble for something and you had to represent them. Can you think of a story in particular, what that was, and talk about it?
Yeah, and I don't remember all of the details of the story, but
It's been a hot minute.
it's been a while. But from what I do remember, there were these two dogs loose. I won't say their breed because then people will say, "Of course, of course." But there were these dogs that were loose in this small trailer park. I'd say this place maybe had, I don't know, eight trailers, so it's a very small trailer park that happened to just have a bus stop right in the front of the entrance of this place. If my memory serves me right, there were two to three dogs that had gotten out of one of the trailers, one of the yards. I don't remember. They were kind of acting aggressively. Of course, people were concerned. They knew the bus was going to be showing up soon. So myself and this other officer responded to this call. And when I arrived there, it was kind of a chaotic scene. There was my coworker there with their catch pole, kind of sort of getting surrounded by these three dogs, and in addition to one or two citizens who also decided they wanted to try to help.
Of course.
In long story short, I believe someone ended up getting bitten. I don't believe it was a child. It was definitely, if I remember correctly, one of the adult citizens trying to help the situation. And anyways, the officer ended up getting called into the office to talk about what happened, to talk about like, hey, how did someone get bitten while you were there on scene? And our captain was kind of like Monday morning quarterbacking, kind of the details of this call. And, it was a very emotional, situation, obviously, for, the other officer involved. She's, still to this day, we're still friends. She's a very caring and loving person, and obviously some was upset that somebody got bitten on her watch per se. And also just kind of thought about like, hey, it could have been one of the kids. Just kind of all of those things weighing on her. And here we have a superior kind of Monday morning quarterbacking and saying, oh, you should have done this, like, why didn't this happen? Those sort of things, instead
Sure.
of
So instead
a
of like really just asking questions, they were more like just,
This should have been done. This should have been done.
that's too bad.
Exactly. And I have matured, I think, over the last few years of like being a dad and just working in a corporation and having a lot of employees myself. Most of which that were 25 and under. So that was quite the experience for me. But I definitely learned like approaching those kinds of situations with compassion and curiosity, is a little better than, you should have done this, you should have done that, being accusatory,
100%.
those sort of things. And so, this particular situation, we did get the union representative involved because this employee felt like they were being unfairly treated and unfairly disciplined for this situation. So, yeah, we did initially have the meeting with the captain. This employee and I had a conversation afterwards of like, hey, this is what I think you should do moving forward. Obviously, it's up to you. I'm here to be a liaison and be a helper for you. But ultimately, the decision is yours to make. And so, like I said, we did end up getting a union representative involved. Unfortunately, in this situation, it wasn't super helpful for this employee. The write-up stayed on her file, even though we got the union representative involved, who agreed that maybe the superior didn't approach the situation the right way. But at the end of the day, was well within their rights to discipline this officer for potentially not handling the situation correctly.
Too
But
bad.
there was still that support, which I think
Yes.
is absolutely huge.
Absolutely.
Because I feel like it's very different, having to walk into a superior's office by yourself versus being able to have somebody that you can say, okay, do you agree with them? Do you not agree with them? Here's my side of the story. And just having that board to bounce ideas off of and have stand beside you, which I think is
Absolutely.
one of the huge reasons that unions should be more prevalent.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have anything bad to say about unions, really. I do know that they can be a headache, depending on what role you are in.
Sure.
They can be a headache for you. But at the end of the day, I think it's always good to have some support, and I continue to be that person in a lot of different aspects of my life. Still at work too. Like, I'm always telling my coworkers, like, don't work for free, or like, yeah, you should put that overtime down on your time card. Like, you worked late, like, you should get paid for it, or like, yeah, go and take your lunch. Like, we are allowed a 30-minute lunch here in the state of California. Like, so I very much so I'm still that person. A lot of my like I said, after leaving animal welfare, you guys know that I continued on to work for a veterinary company that probably everably knows well, VIP Pet Care. Yeah, like, there I had 50 employees, most of which were under the age of 25. And to this day, some of them still call me and they're like, hey, my boss did this. Is that legal? And a lot of times I'm like, yeah, it's kind of jacked up, but yeah, as long as they notified you before you left your house, like, they don't have to pay you that extra 2 hours of pay, you know? And so I don't know. I always try to lead with being honest and compassion and all of those things. And so I think people recognize that. And so to this day, people are still reaching out to me saying, like, hey, what do you think about this?
That's got to be
Nice.
pretty cool.
So I guess, is there anything like specific? Like, I don't want to get you in trouble. But is there anything specific that we can kind of dive into about?
No, part of it's just a question of being the one and only. And not being able to have any kind of standing on, if somebody wants to decide like, oh, hey, we're gonna get rid of the program, we're gonna get rid of whatever. There's very little with being able to make a stand to say, well, no, you need this, and here's why you need this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally makes sense. And my initial thoughts, I think, are I imagine some of your coworkers who have guns are probably a part of a union.
Yes.
And I would say that they probably have a contact for their union representative. So I think my initial thoughts are to go to one of them that you trust, get that person's
Sure.
contact, and I think it would maybe be easy for one person to say, yeah, we want to be a part of the union too.
Sure.
And I think the union representative would love to add more members to the union, because that's more voices behind some of the things that they are asking for. And I think I've talked about this before, but like numbers don't lie, right? Like, so I would say start collecting the data about like, hey, like over the last however far you want to go back, like this is how many calls I've responded to. This is how many times like I've needed the assistance of my coworkers, or this is how many times my coworkers have called me needing assistance. Like I think collecting all of that data and putting it into a package that people can look at and say, oh wow, like maybe we do need this, like we do need this program, like this is like they've processed a lot of animals, like they've done this many dangerous dog cases. Like I didn't know that this was this prevalent in our area, you know, because like we all know how a lot of other county and city departments, what they think about the animal section of whether it's the zoo or the animal control, the shelter, the whatever it is, like we know that it doesn't get the attention and representation that we would all love to see. And so I think presenting that data may be a little wake up call,
Sure.
because I'm sure a lot of that data is like, I'm sure you've been in the situation before when they've come to you and said, hey, can you tell us how many calls you've run in this year, or like what, like they come to you for that data. So
Right.
I imagine that data is not just known. And so I think presenting some impactful numbers to them, and also I think you can even add a little I think it's okay to add even a little of your personal I guess feelings. I guess
Sure.
feelings are the right word, along with the factual data. I think a lot of people are like, oh, you can't show emotion when you're at work, or like, oh, it's unprofessional to show emotion. And it's not like we're human, you know?
Yeah,
And
we're not AI.
yeah, and like at the end of the day, like we see a lot of messed up things that people do to animals, and whether we think it has an effect or not, like it does. And I'm only realizing that for myself recently. I've been doing the work and talking to my therapist and all of those good things. And like even my therapist is like, hey, like you need to like recognize that like you see things, like you've seen things that like a lot of people like don't ever see a dead body, or a lot of people don't ever see like the level of animal cruelty that people like us see or have seen.
Pause. Because that's what I was going to go and segue into. Are you going to ever come back into this field? Because you just said like us, so it's still part of you. Do you have any plans or aspirations to get back into animal welfare?
You know, it's funny you said that. I've been looking. I've been looking. There's a
He
lot
looks so
of
shy about
I know he did. He was like, why you gotta call me out on this podcast?
it. I've been looking, honestly. I think it's no secret. Everybody knows that I live in Northern California. I think we've talked about it a lot on the Humane Roundup and other shows, but there are a lot of open positions like here in Northern California. There's chief position open, there's supervisor positions open, there's a lot of open positions, and my wife and I have definitely talked about it. And I the one thing that keeps like hanging me up is like I don't want to be on call. That is the one. Like, if somebody said, like, hey, you don't ever have to be on call, I think I would jump on it in a heartbeat. I think that's the thing that's holding me back a little bit, because I already a little bit feel like the 8 hours that I am gone at work, like I'm missing out a lot on my kids, you know. And like, we all know, like we have to work, we have bills to pay, like you got to do it. And so I don't know. I'm living the cushy life right now. I have weekends off. I have a lot of holidays off. And once the clock strikes four, I leave work and
That's it.
nobody bothers me until the next day, you know? And so that's allowed me to just spend a lot of time with my kids and do, as my son would call them, science experiments when I get home, and all of those good things. So I don't know. I've definitely, to answer your question, I've definitely been looking, and I know how passionate I am about animal welfare. For some reason, I can't shake all of the information in my brain. Like a lot of the laws are still stuck in my brain. A lot of the everything is it's still just there. And it, I think, kind of reignites me, especially when my friends call me and say, like, oh, this thing happened, what should I do? And then I like instantly go back into investigator mode, and I'm like, oh, what's their name? What's their phone number? Oh, okay, here's this information. Like, I would call animal control, tell them this specifically. If you tell them this, they're not going to take you serious, so you need to say this. And so definitely that fire is still there inside of me. So only time will tell, Dan.
Okay,
Time will
well,
tell.
you're always welcome back. You're an official member of well, really, you're an official member of the Animal Control Report, so that'll always be there. And then the aspects of this job, it is special. Some people leave and come back, some people leave and never come back, and some people never leave. So, you
Yeah,
know.
I will say I had a lot of nightmares when I worked in animal welfare.
Interesting.
I don't know if anybody else experiences that, but I did have a lot of nightmares and
I
a
think a
lot
lot
of
of our
stress.
listeners would say their nightmares are actually when they go into work, not
Right. Yeah.
necessarily at when they fall asleep, but you know, it just it's all good.
Yeah. So yeah, I've just been taking all those things into consideration. I had a lot of stress, a lot of nightmares, a lot of time away from home, a lot of everything, when I was in the industry.
Sure.
So taking all of those things into account, and it's definitely the I don't know. It's like, I guess, like my first love, you know?
Yeah.
Like I worked in the animal industry for 17 years.
It's a long time, man.
So yeah, to answer your question, I've been thinking about it.
Well, we'd welcome you back. We'd welcome you
Yeah.
back with open arms.
Thanks.
Maybe tails wagging.
And that chief position's been open for like, feels like 6 months, bro. So just apply. They'll probably hire you. You have experience there, so.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to work there.
Fair. Any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up?
I've been itching to get back behind the microphone, so thanks for inviting me out.
Always welcome.
And
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm here if you guys need a break or just want to talk about random things. I have a lot of things in my brain these days that I can ramble about forever. So, yeah, I'm here.
Maybe we'll make a spin-off.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm super proud of, like I said, all of the great things that you guys have done with the podcast. Like, you guys are helping people, whether you know it or not. Like, you're helping people. Dan traveling around everywhere, teaching people all over the place. So I think you guys have exceeded even my own expectations for what I had for the show when it first started. So keep going.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's nice to hear that from the person who this was your dream, and for you to give us that autonomy by, just life happening and you stepping away. And when we talked about, keeping it going and having that blessing, that meant a lot. And to hear that from you means a lot. So thank you. And as you're always an honorary host. You can fill in whenever, you can come on whenever you get back in the game. We can get you on with a weekly update if you want. Whatever it is, we're here to support you too. So
Yeah, for
awesome.
sure.
Awesome. And Ashley, if you need this MOU, I'd be happy to UPS it to you or something so you have
You get it
some
out of his house. He
examples.
said he has too many papers anyway.
Dude, you have no idea. Like, I need an intervention over here. I have so many papers. Like,
All you
I
need
think I
is
still.
one silverfish infestation,
Yeah.
and then you're good. You'll get rid of all those papers.
I don't even know what
Google it, and then you'll
silverfish
get rid of all your papers. They like to live
is.
in damp papers,
Oh, yeah, I have a lot of papers.
and they're
I
like,
even have a shredder. I even have a
ooh, they're
shredder,
wiggly.
but I don't
No
use
silverfish, yuck.
it.
I
Yeah.
think, and I may be completely wrong, but I think they're like what potato bugs are if they were flattened and wiggly. I think they're similar, but sure.
Don't know what a
Interesting.
potato bug is either,
Roly
but
poly, roly
oh,
poly.
okay. Got it.
I'm gonna
I'll
just
look
Google
up a silverfish.
while we're here. You let me look this up. Are potato bugs?
What's been I can we go off script a little bit?
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, just really quick before you do that. I was just putting in our potato bugs and it goes, it fills it in. Are potato bugs and silverfish the same things? Okay. So
Nice.
hang on. Let's see. Is this true? Is this a thing? And the answer is no. Potato bugs are known as the Jerusalem crickets, which are insects with large jaws and can bite. Silverfish are shiny, oval-shaped insects with scales and look like fish. So there you go.
Interesting.
All right, off script.
I hope I don't have any of those in my house. I was just gonna ask for an update on the both of you. I'd be lying if I said that I like listen to every single episode from Eternity and beyond. And so I kind of pop in and out as I see you guys posting things on social media, and I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting, or like, oh, I know that person. Like, let me go and
Yeah, you just texted me.
listen
Like,
to this.
I think I worked with the forensic vet that we had on talking about Jake last week or a few
Yeah.
weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I like Jerrica, I know, is on here from NACA. I think she's down in San Diego
She
somewhere
is.
now. So yeah, there's been lots of people that you guys have had on, and I like know them vaguely or have at least talked to them once and things like that. So I've been a little bit popping in here and there, but like, what's new with you guys?
Dan was hit and had a hit and run with a dog. He
Yikes.
was hit
Oh.
by the
Oh,
dog. How's
no.
your knee doing, by the way, Dan?
I could stand up and do some jumping jacks for those of you watching on YouTube and Spotify, but no, I'm close. I mean, I'm close. I'm not close, but I'm close, if that makes sense. So ACL recovery is a 9 month to a year process. At my age, it's probably closer to the year. However, I am planning to run a half marathon here in the next 4 months. And so
Nice.
my rehab is going to start to really get heavy here shortly. But I've built a lot of strength back in my knee, a lot of mobility. And so I'm just trying to keep it moving, as they say, with pun intended.
Nice.
Then Bishop, you got some travels coming up, yeah?
Yep, I will be down in Texas. There's going to be the summit that's going to try to help bring some state organizations together. And then I'm also going to be at HSUS. So that'll be definitely a fun and interesting time. But yeah, I'm currently on light duty from a work-related injury from a fall. Hopefully, I have another surgery this coming up Friday, and hopefully my shoulder will be thawed after that. That is the medical term, by the way, because I have a frozen shoulder and they call it thawing.
Okay.
Nice.
So, but yeah, still plugging along up here and doing what I can. Like I said, I mean, I'm definitely interested in this whole union thing and seeing what I can bring to the state because, I mean, Wisconsin's probably one of the states that's further behind in some of the animal stuff. I know we're not too far down on the list from the ADLF, but AD, yeah, ADLF.
ALDF.org,
There we go,
ALDF.org.
ALDF. I don't know, there's letters.
Yeah.
But as a whole for animal control up here, you know, we're really, really far in the dark ages, I feel like. So,
Well, let's save
wanted
that
to work on
for
that.
next episode with Hilda. You're
Yeah.
welcome to come back on, and you know what we should do? I've been thinking about it. I mean, it is April. ALDF did put out the rankings, and we usually go through that stuff, and maybe we can get you back on, Hildy, and do an episode just breaking down animal welfare in this country, and where we've come from and how far we've come, and who's the first state, who's the 50th state. So
Yeah, I
Where do you
know.
come from? Where do you go? Where do you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Dan doesn't know that song.
Come on
Know.
now. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Something, 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 something. Let's get out of here, y'all. Rock, keep it humane. Let's help people help animals. Peace.